burnt goat meat on a stick. I ate it to help avoid getting stung by bees. But as I often do, I'm getting ahead of myself. Winter is the quiet season in beekeeping, which means that January is a slow month for a beekeeper in the northeastern United States. The bees themselves do not hibernate, but they are dormant. They huddle around the queen to keep her warm and to help her and themselves survive the frigid temperature outside the hive in much the same manner as we gather indoors with family and friends around a crackling fireplace. Their cluster tightens and loosens in accordance with the outside temperature. As there are more than 20,000 types of bees in this great big world, and something like 250 in New York City, please note that when I refer to bees, unless otherwise noted, I refer to the honeybee, Apis mellifera. But even during the freezing months, there may be the odd warm day, and that's when I make my rounds to check on as many of the beehives as I can manage. I may brush the snow from the front of the hives and hold a stethoscope up to the side of the wooden hive boxes to listen for the bees' hum within. I might employ a heat-seeking device to determine whether a colony is surviving and maintaining adequate temperatures in their cluster. Seeing a few dead bees in front of the hive is an encouraging sign. It means that live bees within, acting as undertakers, were recently active enough to toss out their sisters' little corpses. It's not as if I could do much of anything for my bees if they were faring poorly. If they've expired over the winter, they're gone. It's perfectly natural for the oldest bees to die in a colony on a continuous basis. During the winter, these deaths are easier to see than during the rest of the season. Wondering if these bees are alive within is something akin to the question of Schrodinger's cat. The bees may be alive in the box, or they may be dead. But opening the box will certainly cause their demise, as all of their heat would escape. I cannot do much for them in the winter, but hope. But I do worry about them. Beyond fretting, there are really no everyday bee-related tasks to accomplish in our part of the world in January. So we beaks look forward to getting a little more sleep at this time of the year. During spring and early summer, I rise well before dawn to commence my rounds on the rooftops of buildings throughout the five boroughs of New York City and in the surrounding areas where I manage my apiaries. If not in the tri-state area at some bee yard or another, I'm driving my pickup from place to place, stagnating in city traffic, sparring for parking spots, dealing with doormen, hauling equipment up and down fire escapes and makeshift ladders, handling reporters, and managing beekeeping apprentices. Since I'm not doing many of those things in January, I may sleep as blissfully and deliciously late as 6 a.m., catch up on non-beekeeping-related reading, or undertake a project that is normally impossible because of the demands imposed on me by my millions of four-winged mistresses. Sometimes, if I need more to do in January, I'll follow the warm weather and go elsewhere to find beekeeping activity. Usually, I do this through Bees Without Borders, the nonprofit 501c3 organization that I founded with my father. Bees Without Borders' mission is simple: to try to alleviate poverty via beekeeping endeavors. This organization allows me to combine four things that are personally important: philanthropy, travel, beekeeping, and education. Our operating budget has always been moderate. We are funded primarily through a percentage of the sales of our honey and value-added bee products such as pollen, royal jelly, propolis, and beeswax. Frugal New England beekeepers that we are, with our modest budget, we've managed to make a small imprint on beekeeping communities in Nigeria, Cameroon, Iraq, Kenya, and Haiti, to name a few. This way, aside from assisting people all over the world to gain a better income through working with honeybees, I don't have to wait for springtime to come to New York to play with bees and get my hands sticky and stung.